Today's scripture is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. And it reads, "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.'" The ascension of Jesus. "Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God." And God bless the reading of this word.
Good morning. So my parents recently returned from a three-week trip in China, and one of the things that they noticed in China is that they had these great posters of their athletes. But in China, the athletes that become kind of like mini celebrities are the diving or swimming athletes. China has been known in the Olympics to have a gold medal winning divers, so wherever they go in the train stations and certain streets and hotels, they have these posters of these mini celebrity-like athletes. And I was thinking about the athletes that we have in the world, and even in the U.S. we have athletes. Every 4 years, we know countries send athletes to compete in the Olympics. The Olympics are in the summer or the winter, and all these athletes, they compete in summer sports like swimming or basketball or running, and winter sports like skiing or ice skating or hockey. And I like you to then imagine if you are one of these athletes, and you've trained for months and months to compete in these sports. You have one goal if you are one of these athletes that you are striving for. You really want to win for your country. That is your purpose in life, to win a gold or silver or bronze medal and represent your country, to have joy and pride and sense of fulfillment. That is your one purpose. This morning, though, I want to talk about what it means to have one purpose in life and what is our one purpose as Christians. Let us pray. Lord, may you guide my words today so they reflect your true glory. May the meditations of our hearts here be worthy and acceptable in your sight. Amen. So you think about these athletes who compete in the Olympics and hope to achieve the gold or silver or bronze medal. Or you think about even our own athletes today, the Kobe Bryant or the Clayton Kershaw. All these athletes, what are they doing? Their purpose is to win a championship. How many Lakers fans were upset when the Lakers didn't make it to the playoffs? Or if you were a Clippers fan when they got close but just, wait, I think they're a game away? Is there a deciding game? Or Phil, my husband who loves the Blackhawks and is so excited that they've made this new round of the Eastern Conference, Western Conference playoffs against the Anaheim Ducks. All these athletes, their one purpose becomes then winning a championship. And then you wonder, what happens when the season is over? When these athletes, whose one purpose is to win a championship, are not in the playoffs any longer, or they don't achieve that goal of winning the championship, what then becomes their purpose? Do we in life sort of seek those championship-like purposes, and then when it's over, what do we do? Do we become lost? Do we no longer have a sense of purpose in our lives? It's not true just in sports where everything we is sensing to seek a championship. It's true in life as well. We all want to have a purpose in our lives. We all want to have something that gives us joy. Something like sports or our jobs or school or special events. These things can provide us joy and pride and fulfillment, but only for a short time. Some people we know like to dive into home improvement projects. The brave ones take on remodeling. Our church is doing repainting. All these things that we know will help us have better lives. Or hobbies that you do. All these things that might make you happy for a while, give you joy, yes, and give you pride. But remember that these things, they only last a little while. Our church will be repainted, and sure, about 15, 20 years later, it'll be to be repainted again. You might build on an addition to your home, and you never know what's going to happen. You might work towards taking a wonderful trip, and then during that trip, something might happen. All these things are short-term senses of purpose in our life. So this morning, we want to talk about, then, where can we find joy and pride and fulfillment on a long-term aspect? Where can we find something that will last forever, a goal in our lives that lasts forever? Today in the church, we celebrate Ascension Sunday, where we celebrate the rising of Jesus Christ into heaven after his resurrection from the grave. It's a day that we as a church and Christians around the world remember how Jesus, our Lord, spoke, especially that last time to the disciples, his important message to them to be witnesses before he ascended into heaven. So we look at this morning's passage from Luke 24, verse 44 to 53, and we can see there is a sense of purpose that Jesus is giving to the disciples, and this sense of purpose is what we can take away from as well, because it becomes also our sense of purpose in life. So then it's not our homes or our jobs, our car or championship medals that we can achieve that give us a sense of purpose in life, but instead it's something that we get from looking above to heaven that gives us purpose. So first, we must think about our Lord Jesus Christ who ascended that day, and from his message to the disciples, we can see and find our goal in life. We know that when Jesus spoke to his disciples in Luke 24, it was a little bit over, they say, 5 weeks after he had resurrected from the dead. Jesus is gathering with his followers on the Mount of Olives, and he's talking to them. And not far away is the very hill where Jesus was crucified. He purposely chooses, I believe, that area to give his last message to the disciples. We know that when Jesus was crucified, the followers, the disciples, were sad. They wept as he was tortured. They saw him being nailed to the cross. Their hope was lost. Faith was shattered. And they also saw that they lost their sense of purpose because for many years they had been following him. He was their purpose, to serve him, to follow him, to be with him. And then we know that they lost this when they placed his body in the tomb, thinking that their follower, their leader, was gone from them. But we also must remember that we are Easter people, and Jesus, he rose from the grave. He resurrected from the dead. So we can then imagine the joy the disciples must have felt when they learned of this good news, of seeing that empty grave and knowing that Jesus had risen and would be present before them again. And we know in scriptures that Jesus did appear before them again in the upper room on the road to Emmaus, one-on-one with certain people. So the disciples then were faithful and they listened to his every word. In this morning's passage, Jesus knows that he is going to ascend into heaven. So he gathers his disciples together, and he has a few more things to say to them. He says first to them in verse 44 that these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Jesus is telling the disciples that they are part of his purpose and goal in life. The goal of Jesus to be the Savior that the prophets spoke about, and the disciples are part of this important purpose. So the disciples, they hear this important message from Jesus, and he wants them to truly understand that. He wants them to know what now their purpose in life is, because yes, it is different than when Jesus was his leader and they followed and helped him those 3 years. He wants them to know that they have a new purpose in life. And this new purpose in life is that they are witnesses. Jesus and his life purpose fulfilled the Old Testament prophets, that a Savior for God's people would be sent. Jesus was on earth, and the disciple then watched and followed him. But now the disciples were done following. They were done learning. They were done being examples for Christ in that way. Now the disciples had to be a different example of Christ. They had to be witnesses for Christ. So Jesus tells them in verse 48 very clearly, you are witnesses of these things. He wants them to know that they are no longer just followers, but witnesses. This was their new purpose in life, to be witnesses to other people, to share all that they had seen and know, to tell the world the good news of the resurrected Jesus, of Jesus ascending into heaven to be with God the Father, and of the Savior who was giving grace for all people's sin. This is a new purpose that the disciples had, to be witnesses, not to be silent, not to be hidden anymore. As Christians today, we must hear the goal that the disciples were given and know that this is now our goal as well, our purpose in life, to be witnesses of the good news and to share the good news to the world. We know that we sometimes kind of get confused about maybe what our purpose in life is, why God has placed us on this planet. If you listen to advertisers, you probably be, the purpose would be to buy all the wonderful cars they show on TV, to build your home up and have a great home, or to have lots of kids and children. Those are temporary purposes. We have to understand those are earthly purposes of this world. But what we as Christians must strive for are not the earthly purposes, but the heavenly purpose. To share the good news of Jesus Christ, to have Jesus Christ in our hearts, just as last Sunday the wonderful confirmation students did, to accept that they are here, that we are here on earth to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is our purpose in life. Now, when we talk about being a witness, it's so important to know what we are witnesses of and what we want to share back. There's a funny story about a sociology professor who bet another teacher that his students really don't pay attention in class. And then the other professor said, "Oh, well, your students probably love you. They must pay attention to you. You lecture to them for an hour and 15 minutes." So the sociology professor did an experiment, and he was lecturing to them just as he normally does. And before the hour was over, he had two other students, grad students, come in dressed like robbers. They wore sweatshirts and baggy pants and masks over their face, and they came in and they robbed the professor and took away his laptop. So then when the campus security came and questioned the students about what these robbers looked like, the descriptions, these witnesses the students were, the descriptions of the robbers varied. Some said, "Oh, the robbers were tall, they were 6 foot tall." Another person said, "No, the robber was 5'3", my height." Someone said, "Oh, the robber was black. I saw his hands had black hands." Another one said, "No, I think he might have been Asian. His eyes looked a little slanted." Another person said, "Oh, I saw some of his hair through the mask. It was blonde." And someone else said, "No, it was curly brown hair." Were these students good witnesses to the crime they had just seen? Was a sociology professor right that students just sort of go into this coma when they're in class and don't pay attention? Are we, who are supposed to be witnesses to the risen Christ, to share the good news in our own coma where we no longer pay attention? We must wake up. We must pay attention. We must know that the words of that we are witnesses to are in the Scripture, are in the Bible. We have no excuse for giving incorrect data, for not knowing what we are witnesses to and sharing the news correctly. So we know that God put us here then on this planet to share the good news, to spread the words of the gospel, to show people the Bible and the Word of God, and to say that, yes, we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior because we know he died on the cross for our sins. We know he resurrected on the third day and walked again amongst his followers, and we know he ascended into heaven and celebrate that ascension, where then he was with God the Father in heaven for us. So then we must say that we must love our heart with love, Lord, with God, with all our heart and mind and soul, to be witnesses of these things, to follow the words of Jesus Christ. We know in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, Jesus commands to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He says it's the first and greatest commandment, and the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. So knowing we must love the Lord with all our hearts, with all our mind, and all our soul helps us to be better witnesses. How are we to talk about God's greatness if we don't love him completely first ourselves? Why would we tell a stranger on the street how wonderful God is and how much God loves him if we don't love God ourselves first? We must love him with all our hearts and pray daily. We must love the Lord with our soul fully and be in worship and service to the church. And we must love the Lord with our minds and always read and study the Bible, the Word of God, there for us. This is all a part of being a great witness. So then we wake out of that coma and no longer give false witness. This is the first step, I would say, of being a great witness and fulfilling your purpose in life. The second step, I think, is also important, and it's talking about what Jesus has done. We must share how Jesus saves each and every one of us. Think about the last time you had a conversation with someone who wasn't just a friend or family, but a conversation with someone, maybe an acquaintance or a coworker or a schoolmate, about deeper things in life. Do we seem to only talk about the easy things, the weather, or a great movie we saw, local news, or even, unfortunately, tragedies that we hear? I know I've talked more with my sister and her friends about what's happening in Nepal and the poor people there as they are recovering from the earthquakes than I do talk about with my sister and her friends about faith and my own work. We choose to talk about the easier things, and we choose then not to talk about the deeper things. But we must remember, especially on today as we celebrate the ascension of Jesus into heaven, that we must talk about the deeper things with our friends, with our classmates, with our coworkers, and also, yes, with our family as well. We are challenged then to be such great witnesses that we are willing to talk about these deeper things, to say that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, resurrected for us, and ascended into heaven for us. And if we accept all that Jesus did for us, then we must accept that our purpose in life is to be a witness to the Word of God. So then Jesus, knowing that it's going to start with the disciples and how they are as witnesses after he ascends to heaven, he does one last thing before them, this last visible miracle, we say. Because when you think about it, when Jesus resurrected from the grave, no one saw that happen. The disciples and Mary's and the other women who cleaned his body before they placed him in the tomb, they knew that he was in there. They sealed the tomb with the stone. And then it was when they went back the next day that the stone was removed and the tomb was empty. The only thing left was the linen cloth they had wrapped Jesus' body in. They did not see that miracle of Jesus being resurrected from that tomb, that stone tomb. But then Jesus knows that they must see something to help them believe, so he performs this last miracle before he goes before them. In Luke 24, verse 50 to 53, we see that Jesus is before the disciples, and then he descends into heaven right before their eyes. And they see this miracle happen of Jesus ascending into heaven. And if you read later in the scripture passage, there are angels who appear as well and they are part of that important miracle. But then the disciples have not only just what they know, but also what they've seen, this wonderful miracle of Jesus' ascension that they can talk about and help them continue to be important witnesses. So then the disciples who then had been hiding in their rooms, we hear in the closing passage, go into the temples and praise God openly. The disciples are doing things now openly. They are no longer hiding in their rooms for fearing of persecution. They are no longer gathering in secret to read scripture or say prayers, but they are open because that is what being a witness is to be open, to go out of our doors and be a witness to the world, to go out of our comfort zone, if you will. So then, not the Jewish priests of those times, not the Roman leaders or the enemies could keep the disciples from publicly displaying their faith and being great witnesses. And we today must not let people put us down when we try to be witnesses, when we try to share the Word of God, when we offer prayer for someone. We must be open and public about our witness, and that will give us a sense of pride, a sense of joy, and a sense of fulfillment. Because we know that our deeper and more lasting purpose in life is to serve the Lord, to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to confess him as our Lord and Savior, and to continue to faithfully be disciples for the church. Let us pray. Loving God, you hear the words today, and we know that your word is in our hearts. We read the gospel passage and know of the wonderful ministry and life of your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that with his death came resurrection, and with resurrection came ascension into heaven that gives us our purpose in life, to be witnesses to your Son, Jesus Christ, For you created us in your image, you molded us, and you nurtured us, and you continue to watch over us as we serve our purpose to be a witness to Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.